After the sermon, we will sing Psalter 403, all stanzas. Psalter 403, all stanzas after the sermon. Beloved congregation, we write above the sermon, Water for David from Bethlehem's Well. Water for David from Bethlehem's Well. First of all, we want to pay attention to his longing for this water. Secondly, the receiving of this water. And thirdly, his gratitude to God. Water for David from Bethlehem's Well. His longing for this water, the receiving of this water, and his gratitude to God. The narrative we will listen to this evening is recorded at the close of the second book of Samuel. It's about an event that took place during David's kingship, shortly before he entered Jerusalem, the royal city. The portion we read is introduced with the words, "These be the names of mighty men whom David had." The mighty men are those who have performed great feats for David. A comparable list of mighty men is found in 1 Chronicles 11, where this story is also recorded. In Chronicles, we find the names of those heroes listed before the history of David. And among other things, this list is a testimony of God's care over David. The Lord has blessed David's kingship by using other men as an instrument in his almighty hands. God is the Lord of hosts. We don't know for sure when the recorded story has taken place. Most commentators suggest 2 Samuel 5, verse 17 through 21 to be the background of our text. This event could have taken place early in David's reign. David has taken refuge in the cave of Adullam. Not so long ago, the Philistines had heard that David had been anointed as king over all Israel. And now they tried to stop David and made plans to attack him. They wanted to overthrow him since they were afraid of losing the territories they had captured in Israel. And David and his soldiers hid themselves in the stronghold in the region of Adullam. And this stronghold is located to the west of Judah, hilly area, not so far from the Philistines' borders. A distance of approximately 12 miles from Jerusalem. And the Philistines have their garrison in the valley of Rephaim, south of the capital city. So this event took place during the so-called Philistine battles. And prior to this account, David had been king already in Hebron for 7 years. And we wonder, how did David become a successful king? How could he expand his power? Only one appropriate answer can be given. In 1 Chronicles 11, verse 9, we read, "So David waxed greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him." This was David's secret. The Lord of hosts was with him. And we read of David's confession in Psalm 18, "For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall." And if we wonder how David has gotten this far, then the list of mighty men reveals to us that the Lord used means to carry out his counsel. God uses means. And David and his mighty men went down to the stronghold in Adullam to hide and to go up from there to attack the Philistines. And there David expressed his yearning, as we read in verse 15, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." How should we view David's desire for water? In itself, it was not a strange desire. David and his men were in the fortress somewhere in Adullam. They had to battle against the Philistines, and it was at the time of harvest, the cider harvest. That means that the days were long and hot. It's understandable that David desires to drink water. Yes, but David did not just ask for any water to quench his thirst. Probably there was water in the stronghold. No, he wanted to drink water from the well of Bethlehem, the city which was occupied by the Philistines. Why? Was the water of Bethlehem's well so special? Well, yes, it was, since a well always supplies fresh water. And no one else but David knew the taste of this well. David was raised in Bethlehem. And maybe as a child he played around the well with his friends and taken water from it when they were thirsty. Either way, he has used his well as a shepherd of his father's flock, refreshing the flock. He knew this well. And now we read David longed for water from Bethlehem's well. He longed. That is a strong word. It means that his whole being stretches forth to the Bethlehem's well. It's a heartfelt desire. Isn't that a bit overdone by David? It is a desire that cannot possibly be honored. David is asking for the impossible. And some commentators judge his utterance to be an impulsive longing of David, a sinful longing for which he felt ashamed later on. According to them, therefore, we read in verse 17 that he would not drink the water which the three mighty men got for David. He was ashamed and realized that he had expressed a foolish wish. But with many others, I believe that David's longing was more than a literal longing for water from Bethlehem's well. A spiritual longing resounds in this cry as well. Probably David was thirsty, and he was thinking of the water from Bethlehem's well that in the occupied region. And he knew that water will really refresh me. But this longing for water reminded him of his spiritual desires. David's longing goes deeper. David looked forward to going to Bethlehem and take it back from the Philistines. So the water of Bethlehem had a symbolic meaning to David. It symbolized peace, freedom, blessing. And David is looking forward to journeying to Bethlehem without being hindered by enemies. The Lord had promised to deliver his people Israel from the heathens. The kingdom of Israel was given to David. This also means that the Philistines would be driven away. However, God's promise was not fulfilled as long as Bethlehem's well was not accessible to David or any other Israelite. And this makes David long for Bethlehem's well. As it were, we hear David expressing his longing as he later wrote in Psalm 143, verse 6, "I stretch forth my hands unto thee, my soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land." His longing is a thirsting for God's fulfillment of the promise. He knows that he is not able to do what only God can do. Oh, that one would give me drink. Who will expel the Philistines? It's a strong desire, a great desire to God for his gracious intervention. It's a desire that struck him deeply. And it causes him pain inside that can only be taken away if his desire is fulfilled. Like homesick children. Homesickness cannot be satisfied but by going home again. And in a way, we could say that David was homesick for God's gracious intervention, for God's fulfilling his promises. And David knows he is dependent on the Lord. The Lord had promised rest and peace in Israel. And David would expel all enemies. The well of Bethlehem symbolizes peace and freedom. When will that day appear? But what about you? What is your longing? What is your strong desire? You should be able to answer this question right away, since every person has desires. A person is a desiring creature. You desire to have your own house or a good salary. You desire to have a spouse, a child, or more children. A person longs for happiness, pleasure, and communion. Are these longings bad? Well, not in themselves. However, since our fall in Adam and Eve, man's longings move away from God. Instead of being directed to God. And Scripture is very clear about this. We read that by nature man does not seek after God. He does not seek. His desire is not focused on God, but on himself. And therefore, your desires, which may look correct and decent, fall short of the glory of God if they are not directed toward God. And have you come to church this evening with a desire? What is it? No, I hope you don't desire any evil things. You don't want to be rich, neither do you desire to be poor. You wish to have enough. Are there no more desires? Do you have desires which are related to the well-being of your soul? Or are your desires limited to the here and now? Do you have a strong soul's desire that you may be saved and may glorify the Lord? Are you longing for a life of holiness? What a blessing if your longing is that God may be honored and glorified in your life. It's a blessing if you have a strong desire for peace in your heart, for the forgiveness of your sin, for offering the Lord true gratitude. Oh, we all fall short in our spiritual longings. Even God's people are so easily preoccupied by the things of this life, so that it cools the longing for Christ and all his benefits. And maybe you say, well, I know of a spiritual desire in my heart. At times there is a strong longing for God and his benefits. But I cannot appropriate these benefits. They are promised by the Lord, but I don't know how to partake of them. I will give thanks to the Lord, but I still miss the true comfort that I need. Why is that? Because there are enemies on your path? Bethlehem's well was not accessible since the Philistines had their garrison there. And likewise, with every spiritual benefit, it is unreachable since there are enemies. Satan, the enticement of the world, and my sinful flesh. Do you suffer from this burden? Do you cry out with David, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. Oh, that one would give me the forgiveness of my sins. Who will give me peace? Who will give me a sight of Christ? Who will give me hope for eternal life? How can I become a partaker of Christ and his salvation? How do I get a heart that truly loves the Lord? How can I live in holiness?" You don't know what to do. Just like David, who have a strong desire, but there are enemies that hinder you. And the devil attacks you. And you're easily enticed by the dainties of the world. And your own sinful, deceitful heart keeps you from the Lord. These are all impossibilities to reach Bethlehem's well. Impossibilities to partake of the spiritual blessings of the Lord. It's a blessing. If you know of this strong desire, a blessing? Can it be a blessing to miss what you really need? Yes, in a way it is a blessing. Because in this way the Lord makes room for himself and his gracious work. The Lord wants you to come with your need to him. You may come with all your needs regarding this temporal life, but especially with your spiritual needs. And by his Spirit, the Lord works a strong desire for him and his benefits. He makes you, so to speak, homesick, so that you will cry out for God's gracious intervention. And how does the Lord fill our spiritual desires? Now we have come to our second point, namely the receiving of this water. From this account, we understand that the Lord satisfied David's desire. But how did that start? Well, very simple. Because David made his desire known. He expresses a strong desire. And we should pay attention to this first. We don't know in what manner David expressed his longing. It could be a prayer. Maybe he expressed out loud what was in his heart. It can also be that he talked with one of his captains about his desire. Maybe David looked depressed in the cave of Adullam and a captain asked him why he was so down. Anyway, David speaks out loud so that others can hear it as well. We must make our heart's desires known, not only and first of all to others, but especially to the Lord. You bring yourself into distress when you don't make your heartfelt desires known. Anyway, three soldiers hear about it. And they are not the only ones. The Lord also hears it. For the Lord knows man's heart and deepest longings. And it pleases the Lord when we express our needs and spiritual longings. Doesn't the Lord exhort us, trust in him at all times? Ye people, pour out your heart before him. And if you know something of this desire for spiritual blessings, you cannot but express them to the Lord. You cannot hold it back any longer. You must express your longings since you so crave the fulfillment of your desires. Does the Lord know of your desire after him? Does he know what benefits you are in need of? When you are truly in need of Christ and his benefits, you cannot but express it to the Lord. You don't need to be eloquent to express your needs. Just call upon the Lord, even if it's only a sigh. This is the way in which the Lord applies his promises. The Lord wants you to express your needs and desires. And the Lord fulfills. Yes, the Lord fulfills his promises. That's what we also learn from this account. The Lord fulfills his promises in the way of a miracle. Listen to this account. Three men hear about David's longing. Now we know two names of the three mighty men. They are Abishai, the brother of the well-known Joab, who was the captain of the host and the commander of the army, and Benaiah, another of David's captains. Abishai takes charge. They plan to do all they can to fulfill David's longing. Apparently, they have understood it literally. And out of love, they want to satisfy David's desire. From the sequel, we understand that they were prepared to even risk their lives. And children, you will understand that these three soldiers must have sneaked their way into Bethlehem. We don't exactly know how they did it. They had to travel through occupied territory. It was a miracle that they were not caught by the Philistines. In verse 16, we read that they broke through. And the Hebrew word employed here is related to the beating of someone by a sword. This could mean that they killed some Philistines to get a jug of water from Bethlehem's well that is at the gate. It could be. Anyway, they put their lives at risk to get a little bit of water from Bethlehem. Do you see what is happening here? The Lord places the hearts of these men, the plan, and the courage to get water from Bethlehem's well. He drove them on after they had heard of David's longing. And the Lord protected these brave men by his almighty power, since the Lord is the Lord of hosts. And they came back with the desired result. What a miracle. And from this we can glean deep spiritual lessons. The Lord wanted to teach David and his men spiritual lessons. David would receive water from Bethlehem's well. A miracle has happened. And David considered it to be impossible to get water from the gates of Bethlehem. And what seemed to be impossible appears to be possible. David's strong desire was fulfilled. The fulfillment of his longing was on its way without David being aware of it. And his longing was satisfied without him putting any effort into it. What lessons do we learn from this? Well, that the Lord fulfills the soul's desires in the way a miracle. What is impossible with man is possible with God. This is how it is with all God's promises. The Lord quenches a thirsty soul in the way of a miracle. In the way of a miracle. This does not mean that there is only a little chance that your soul's desires will be satisfied. No, it means that it will be fulfilled by God and not by man. To David, it seemed impossible to get water from Bethlehem, but God. And that is what David learned again. But God, with God, all things are possible. And the Lord will bring David into Bethlehem, and from Bethlehem, the city of Jerusalem, from Bethlehem to the city of Jerusalem, to reign over the whole of Israel in accordance with God's word. David was pondering God's promise. David longed for the Lord and his intervention. How would Bethlehem ever be delivered? How would he ever drink from Bethlehem's well as he had done in his childhood? And David had to learn that the Lord himself will fulfill his word. The Lord did not need David's contribution. David was anointed king, indeed, but this prominent role did not bring him closer to the fulfillment of the promise. David had to learn that it was all God's work, from the beginning to the end. And David was no more than a means. And that was humbling for David. He had no access to Bethlehem's well. The Lord, however, brought, as it were, the well to David. And that is comforting indeed. The Lord applies his promise in spite of David. Why did God do this mighty work? Because of his good pleasure. Because the Lord is able and willing to fulfill his promises. And in the light of the New Testament, we should say that every applied promise is merited by the Lord Jesus Christ. What a lesson, congregation, to despise yourself and to have expectation of the Lord alone. I wait for God to hide me. My soul with longing stirred shall hope what's ever betide me in his unfailing word. The Lord teaches David to have no expectation but of the Lord. And this account about the fulfillment of David's longing is an encouragement for all those who are longing for God and his mercy. With joy the meek shall see my soul restored. Your heart shall live, ye saints that seek the Lord. He helps the needy and regards their cries. Those in distress the Lord will not despise. You know, this God still lives. What do you lack? What is your spiritual desire? He is ready to apply his promises. He grants salvation. With him there is forgiveness of sin. With him you will find peace for your soul. Children, the Lord is willing and able to give you a new heart. Can the Lord hear your voice? Can the Lord hear you expressing your longing for the application of God's promises? The Lord teaches you this afternoon that he will grant you all spiritual blessings in the way of you making it known to him. He also teaches you that he is the one who grants all blessings in the way of a miracle. It is a one-sided work. He does not need you for the fulfillment of the promises. It is his free and sovereign work. And therefore have great expectation of the Lord. And when you suffer from spiritual barrenness, when it is so cold inside your soul, examine yourself. Is it because you have still some expectation of self? Is it because you have small thoughts of the Lord? Or we so easily think that we can do something. And our pride is so unmovable, not willing to be dethroned. Between David and Bethlehem's well were the Philistines. But what is between you and the promises of God? Your unbelief? Your reasoning? Your hardened heart? A bosom sin? What keeps you from the Lord? You cannot bridge the distance between you and God. And the Lord wants you to feel that you are standing outside, so that you will learn that what is impossible with you is possible with God. The Lord is more able and willing to be merciful to you than you are willing to bow before God. How does the Lord apply His promises? In the way of the cross. The Lord Himself applies His promises. The Lord provides the answer to the question, how salvation reaches a sinner who must confess, I cannot reach any single promise of the Lord, since I see only obstacles from my sight. The Lord Himself makes you partaker of all His promises, since He has given His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the ransom for sinners. And every fulfillment of a promise has been paid for by the Lord Jesus. He has given Himself into the hands of enemies in order to deliver His people from their souls' enemies. He fulfills God's promises in order to feed and satisfy poor, hungry souls with His accomplished redemption. He has beaten a path to Bethlehem's well in order to quench thirsty souls. The Lord Jesus has descended to this world to take away your impossibilities of being saved. He has come to conquer the most powerful enemy. He has come to defeat death. How many times have you heard this gospel proclaimed? How many times has the Lord shown you the way of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you not fall on your knees acknowledging the Lord? Lord, Thy word is truth. Thy promises are yea and amen. Teach me to have no other expectation but of Thee. Let us now listen to David's response in our third point, namely his gratitude to God. It goes without saying that David was flabbergasted, overwhelmed by seeing the three mighty men coming from the direction of the Philistines' garrison, carrying a jug of water. We can imagine that these warriors presented the jug of water with a sense of pride. David, this is yours. This is the water you longed for so much. Water from Bethlehem's well. And we imagine that David was speechless for a moment. And suddenly he realizes that these men have put their lives at stake in order to obtain water for their king. And he's overwhelmed by the love of these men, so evident by their offering him water from Bethlehem's well. But there's more. There's more. David also understands that the Lord has performed a miracle. David understands that the Lord has answered his cry for water. This thing is from the Lord Almighty. It's a marvel in our eyes. Man can't understand it rightly, nor fathom it in any wise. What will David do with this water? Will he receive it with thanksgiving, and will he drink it in the presence of these mighty warriors? That is what you would expect of David's request for water from Bethlehem's well, as it had been an rash request. David, however, cannot possibly drink this water. Actually, if he had drunk from this water, it would be an expression of cruelty and indifference. Why? Because David notices in the offer of Bethlehem's water their genuine love of him. And what does David do? He turns with the water to the Lord and prays, "Be it far from me," verse 17, "O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. In Scripture, blood is a symbol of life. To David, drinking this water would be like drinking their blood. Why? Because they had risked their lives for this water. And it would be an act of cruelty if he had drank the water. But he cannot. It is too precious. It is too costly. The fact that he would not drink it is mentioned twice. He would absolutely not drink it. David is deeply touched in his soul. And David wants to express his gratitude of their love shown to him. And what does David do with this? What does David do then with this water? He poured it out. He poured it out to the Lord. This means that David became very small under this great blessing. He humbles himself before the Lord. He experiences his insignificance. And he wants to return the Lord's blessing. He wants to return the Lord's blessing. That is what David is doing here. He poured out the water. And the expression used here is the same as when we read that a drink offering is sacrificed to the Lord. What's a drink offering, children? It's an offering of the most precious things to the Lord. And this water is precious in the eyes of David. And he cannot but offer it to the Lord. He owes God the best he has, his most precious possession. And the Lord has shown his care for David by the action of these three men. And David understands that God will truly fulfill his promise. For David, this water was a token that the Lord will give the Philistines into his hand. The Lord hears his cry. The Lord will give him all of Israel and his kingdom, as his kingdom. The Lord blesses David richly, and he's overwhelmed by the love shown by these men. And now he wants to acknowledge the Lord. He wants to give the Lord the best he has. Can you relate to David? Though time and circumstances are completely different, when your eyes are opened for the preciousness of God's gift, then there should be some acknowledgement. Then you are amazed by the many blessings the Lord bestows upon you. And then you marvel, how good is God to me, who by nature does not seek the Lord, who is so selfish and foolish. And the benefits of the Lord become even more precious when your eyes are opened for the price that has been paid for it. Because for every crumb of bread and every thread of your clothes, a price has been paid. The fact that you have a shelter, and that you live in the free country has been paid for. The privilege that you still breathe has been paid for by blood. That was the price which the Lord Jesus has paid. It has cost him his life. And the blessings of the Lord become so precious when you observe them all with spiritual eyes. And your food tastes better. And your clothes feel differently. And the heat at home is so appreciated when you realize that Christ has paid for it all. He was hungry in the wilderness. And he was thirsty, naked, and without shelter when he suffered and died on the cross. And it is the highest form of denial and abuse when you take the blessings of the Lord for granted. When you're happy with the gifts without honoring the great giver, then you don't rightly value his gifts. It is one of your biggest insults if you say thank thee for all the gifts and then you keep them for yourself. When you know something of the miracle of grace, you cannot keep it for yourself. But you want to cheerfully pour it out to the Lord. Does this mean that you may not use the gifts? Of course you may. However, how do you use them? The Lord blesses us richly in order to use them in the service of the Lord. Temporal blessings cannot be isolated from spiritual life. On the contrary, in spiritual life, you consider all temporal blessings so differently. It is your heartfelt desire to honor God with all he has given you. That means that it becomes your prayer, Lord, how wilt thou have me spend my money, my time, my gifts, my strength? They are all thine. And you become small, humble, under so many gifts from the Lord. We forfeit all his blessings. David pours out the precious water to the Lord. David expresses thereby that he wants to serve the Lord with all he has. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? All the good gifts which come from above are given to honor and glorify the Lord with them. And at the same time, the good gifts are proofs of God's care over you. The Lord knows you. The Lord hears you. How many gifts did you not already receive? The Lord has so much more in store to grant you. The Lord is able and willing to fulfill his promises. David was encouraged by it. We have to do with an almighty God, who in Christ Jesus is able and willing to provide all in all our needs. Will you show forth gratitude toward the Lord in your life? It's only possible in the way of going on your knees with a broken heart. Lord, thou hast been so good to me, though I don't deserve this at all. Yes, every blessing has been paid for with the price of thy blood. In true gratitude, you desire to offer yourself to the Lord. Lord, make my life such poured out water. May I be made an instrument in thy hand to glorify thy name in my daily life. Hey, you are poor. You are so poor if you don't know anything of this longing. No longing for God, no longing for a life that is ruled by God. Oh, make your lack of longing known to the Lord. There will be known genuine gratitude without repentance and faith. And therefore seek the Lord, bow before Him and acknowledge Him who has fulfilled your life with so many blessings. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing unto our God. Amen.